What's up, everybody, and welcome to Salamanca Watch, where we talk about our crazy cousins. We're not sure what they're up to. The family's falling apart, and we're gonna try to we're gonna try to figure out what they're doing. You know, family
with
drama.
Them pointy boots,
naughty things.
Yeah, naughty things. Those pointy boots. Now, this is Mr. Buzz. welcome to our Better Call Saul podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt Paul Podcast.
You didn't say the name of the podcast.
He did.
No,
he
but
said we're Mr. Buzz.
No.
Mr. Buzz.
No. Next Stop Cinnabon.
Well, if you would have let me get to it, that was the next third. This is Next Stop Cinnabon. I'm one of your hosts, Matt. I'm joined by Mary Tyler Bailey. We're here to talk about episode 3 of season 4 of Better Call Saul. I almost said Missed the Bus. Nobody's going to talk about it. Nobody's going to do a review podcast of that. we're going to get into the review of the episode, but real quick before we do, if you like what we do, you can find us on iTunes. Please subscribe. Leave us a review. We're also on the Google Play Store, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube. Spotify, no, but that's okay because fuck Spotify.
yeah.
And social media, you can find us on Twitter at Missed the Bus Pod, Facebook, search Missed the Bus, and Instagram, search Missed the Bus Pod. That's all you need to know. We're going to jump straight into it. It's going to be all spoilers from here on out, people. So, if you haven't watched the episode, what the fuck are you doing? Go back, sit down on your TV, watch it, enjoy it, come back, hang with us. All right, so, episode
three. You sound like
a
machine gun right now.
Wow, that was actually good.
Yeah, that was good.
Kind of sounded like a sprinkler, though. But whatever, it was fine.
They don't know. All right, so episode three, initial thoughts.
I felt really bad for Nacho's mouth because it was very chapped.
Fucking chapped.
I didn't like his bullet wound.
No, I didn't like it either.
the whole setup in the beginning, like how intricate they were with like the gunshots and everything to make sure that they like covered up this murder was
They first started just shooting the car, and I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And then they're like breaking the windshield, and then I'm just like, at some point they're gonna fucking
shoot
ponytail man.
They were dropping bullets and shit.
Right. Yeah, they think
everything. Oh yeah, and they were dropping like the what is that? Brake lights. Like through like coming up to it.
Oh yeah,
I thought that was like a cool intro.
Well, it was cool imagery.
It was cool because they didn't have any dialogue for like several minutes. It was just building up.
Setting up this cover up.
Building up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
I like that.
Fucking
though.
Dr. Seuss rhyme for you. No, and then obviously Nacho's gotta endure quite a bit for this fucking cover up.
Poor Nacho.
I feel bad for him.
Poor Nacho.
He seems like such an okay person, and then he's like the one that has to deal with all of this.
I know, and he had to like watch his friend get smothered.
He didn't care about that guy. Ponytail guy? He like kind of cared about
like
him.
I feel like he kind of thought he was like a dumbass.
He was a dumbass.
I'm sure
but
if he is the good person that we are posing, I'm sure he thinks everyone that he worked with is a piece of shit.
Well, it's like that, but he also just like seems like he has like some type of value for human life. So he probably was just like watching someone die was hard, but I would hope that would be hard for anyone. Either way,
I'm sure getting shot in like the arm and then the fucking liver or whatever was
hit,
even
like
worse,
his hip or his side or something. But yeah,
and it went through him.
How do all these people know the vet? Would you know Mary since you watched the show recently?
Oh yeah, okay. So the vet
I know.
Like,
I know Mike knew him.
The vet that like stitched
I
up.
Do not
Nacho.
Remember.
Well, okay, so obviously the vet. Yeah, Mike went to him earlier on in Better Call Saul. He gets people jobs and shit.
Yeah,
I don't remember if he help Mike out earlier too, like heal him from some shit. Not heal him, but you know, do his fucking.
I definitely thought I
shit.
Remembered he stitched up. Because
I forgot
somebody.
The vet was like a fucking doctor. So like he's making the call for Jamie, and I was like, yeah, this makes sense. And then the fucking twins show up, and I was like, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, okay.
I don't remember him treating any other human, okay, but well, I guess he must have at some.
Tell
point.
You what, man, vets.
I know.
I'm sure we could look on the Saul or
yeah,
Bad
we
Wiki.
Could. Keep talking. I'll try to find it. But,
yeah,
because
I feel like I thought I remembered him like sitting down stitching someone up in like some sketchy room, but I could just be imagining
no,
that.
No, he has. He for sure has.
So yeah. I feel like
I'm
maybe,
sure the comments
was it maybe when
too.
Mike got the shit beat out of him from...
Nacho. I mean, Tuco. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from Tuco.
It was Tuco, yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Dang, tell maybe. You what, I forgot about
we'll
that.
See.
Anyway, back to just to get back to the episode, though. Fucking yeah, Nachos.
God, that bullet wound. It looks
straight through.
Awesome. Which is like good because it's supposed.
Yeah, but he's got a bullet stuck in his shoulder now for life
and set off metal detectors. But and then the vet literally leaned over and said, "Like, don't come to me ever again. I'm done with
that's
like, the
why
cartel
I thought for some
shit.
Reason that he knew mm-hmm. him before. You know what I mean? Like it was basically like, hey, if you show up in here again, I'm fucking." I've had enough of your people.
You can kind of see, like, in Nacho's eyes, like, he's like, I want to be done with it, too. But
well, I think he also just wanted to die because
yeah,
he was probably in so much
like,
pain.
He's like, man, these people went through so much trouble to make this look real. I kind of just wish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
it just shows like he's just gonna be suffering for a while, like he's never gonna get out of this kind of thing, which sucks.
He is obviously. So that was the very intense parts of this episode,
which is I like that they started the entire episode with that. Mm-hmm. Like it just, the whole intro was very high paced compared to the past.
Very high paced.
Fast paced. I'm sorry. I was like, wait, what did I say wrong?
I'm pretty sure that works too, actually.
My favorite part of this episode was for sure the, like, Jimmy trying to get the statue with that guy or whatever. Yeah. The trinket, the figurine.
Oh, where he's like stuck under the comedic relief. And the poor guy, all he was trying to do was buy his wife a vacuum. And then his car gets, like, broken into and rolled away.
I can't help but laugh at him. He's having the worst night. Because he plays, like, this really creepy character and it's always sunny.
Right.
So it's just weird. Like,
no, yeah, I mean, I felt bad for that dude, too. Like I said before, like, whenever I see that guy's face just having any kind of disappointment on it, I just wanted to, he's just one of those people where I'm just like, oh, man, fuck.
Yeah,
he just makes me sad for
some
reason.
And his wife was mad at him for buying
the
wrong
vacuum. Yeah, for buying a fucking vacuum. Like, Jesus.
And, like, all he did to get himself mixed up with Jimmy was, like, hire him. So
yeah, he did absolutely nothing wrong. Yeah. But that's just, like, showing Jimmy going back to his old ways kind of thing. And I feel like him coming to have to save it's like nothing ever goes smoothly. Like he kept saying how smoothly this whole heist thing was gonna go make. And then of course it like didn't go the way he planned, and I feel like that's just how it always goes for him. So
and then Mike the walking wisdom knew not to do it, so look at him being
walking
all
wisdom,
walking common sense. I think.
Oh, that's what it is.
I like
bad.
Walking wisdom walking too though wisdom. He made him sound like a wizard.
he probably thought Jimmy was kind of off his rocker because he was like, I'm sorry about Chuck, and then he's just like, I'm not gonna do this though.
Yeah, I know for sure.
Also, the whole time I'm just thinking, I mean, I don't really think he needs $4,000. Like, he's got, I feel like Mike's got enough money to be like, I don't really care.
That's the thing with Mike. It's like, just, he doesn't does he really care need about all that. This? Like, you know what I mean? Does he need the money?
That's the way I was thinking of it. Like, it would have made no sense for him to be like, he just signed up for a new job, too. That's probably going to get him, like, so much more money.
I mean,
so
he's getting money laundered.
What's the $4,000 going
to
do
you,
for
you
him?
Can just tell that Mike, like, is probably developing that sort of soft spot for Jimmy, but. Yeah, it's at the end of the day, he's still, like we say, walking common sense. He's very much like, I'm not going to go and do this. There's no point for me to stick my ass out on the line and do this. I don't need the money. You don't need to be doing this.
Right. It was so kind of nice to see him be sympathetic towards Jimmy, too, though, because I feel like you never really see a softer side of Mike.
Yeah.
But he, like, seemed kind of genuine about it.
Because I love, that's my thing with Mike, is, like, I feel like I always, maybe it's not, like, not that like much on display, but, like, I feel like I'm always just, like, seeing, like, just looking in Mike's eyes, it's, like, always, like, I see this, like, I can see how he has a granddaughter and, like, you know what I mean? It's just, he's a very, like, human character to me, more so than, like, the act that he puts on. That's why Mike's always been my favorite character in both of these shows. Just, you know, whatever. I'm trying to think. And then, okay, so obviously as we get more towards the end of the episode, nobody expected, I don't think, that we'd be seeing Gale.
Oh, no, that caught me way off guard.
I loved how they, like, brought him into whatever song he was singing.
Is that the
singing?
First time we've ever seen him in this show?
Yeah.
For sure. What was he singing? Something
he
about,
was
like,
singing, like, all the elements
that periodic table.
I think he was singing them in alphabetical order or something. No, like, so it was crazy.
Chromium, like, potassium,
but marium,
so it looks like now Gus is just getting him to, like, test stuff for right now.
Oh, man, yeah.
But then eventually, obviously, he'll make the
turn. Fucking Gus, what a kind of good guy. You know what I mean? Just like in the sense that, like,
I mean,
yeah, you could solve the problems I'm going through right now, but no, I'm going to keep you. You have a better life, Eddie. You don't need this. Obviously, that's not what's going to stick.
Honestly, though, in my opinion, I was looking more at that as, like, is Gus kind of working behind the scenes to start his own thing, and then he's saving him so that he only works for Gus kind of thing?
I guess so. I was going to say, too, I kind of forget, because Gus is just such, like, a menacing character whenever you see him. But, like, in this show, he's very much not at the top of all this. Like, and I feel like that didn't even strike me as much as it should have last. Like, it strikes me more now thinking about it. Because, like, that whole thing where he exploded last episode, it was, like, kind of out of character, but, like, in the sense of not what we already know is going to happen, but just, like, where he is at right now. Like, he's not, like, the fucking kingpin yet.
Right.
He is working for other people. Like, he's just a part of this chain.
Even in Breaking Bad, for a while, he's not at the top because at some point they killed Don Eladio or whatever.
Right, yeah. I guess he's just, it feels more like he's running his own thing at that point in Breaking Bad, but he's really not. I guess I have a hard time picturing
Well, because then there's no Hector or anything like that in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's
or not like
true.
A, you know, one that can do anything.
Yeah, I wonder how Hector's doing.
I'm sure he's all right.
In and out of his coma or whatever.
I was more surprised that they chose to actually reveal what was in the letter this quick.
Oh, yeah, I know. Also, yeah. The way they did it, too, because it was just kind of casual. But right. I guess that's what they were trying to go for, because the way Jimmy was reading it, he was just like, next paragraph. And like,
he was still like eating his cereal. That.
Like, yeah. through while he was reading it. And Kim's like crying. Right. It was just.
Well, yeah, so Jimmy either obviously doesn't really care or he's putting on a front for it. But I guess. The actual contents of the letter wasn't anything like too bizarre.
It was actually nice.
It was pretty nice,
but it wasn't like.
So when do y'all think that he wrote that letter to him then? Because he says something that's not when he dated. Talks about like the mailroom or whatever. It kind of seems like it may have been closer to the time where he got in the like stint in the mailroom, but I don't know.
But I mean, it was obviously he knew that it was his death letter. So I mean,
it's kind of like when you prepare a will, right? Like you. You prepare the will like not the day before you think you're gonna die.
I'd have to see the scene again, but when we were watching it, I felt like he would have wrote it like very recently, like right before he died.
Well, because I mean, he was saying he was happy with the opportunities or how Jimmy went with the opportunity he was given in the mailroom. So he knows that he made it past that and like got to where he is now.
He made it past it, but I still don't think it was that like that recent.
I just feel like even if we're looking at it to where Chuck somehow has forgiven Jimmy for all the shit that happened in the last season. I feel like it'd be so hard pressed that he didn't throw some slight of anything in that letter.
Like, it was very, you know what I mean? Like
that letter was so
Chuck.
But how did they find the letter exactly?
Well, it was just in his will. It was like, here's like Jimmy, you get $5,000 and here's a letter Chuck wrote
for you.
But
did he do the will and that letter at the same time? Because that doesn't seem like it could be right, because the letter was very heartfelt, but he still only left him hardly
Well, no, that's the thing. Like, so again, if you're making a will, right? Like
you can
he could have wrote
the
letter
and
been like, this is going to be part of it. And then it's that's what I was kind of saying last week. Like, even though Chuck and Jimmy always had like a strange relationship, like who knows, maybe originally Jimmy was going to get more money. And then it was after everything that transpired that Chuck, like, nah, I'm knocking you down, buddy. You know, $5,000 heartfelt letter and you're out the door.
Right. You know so it's I like the $5,000 could have came after the letter. Like, I just feel like.
I guess it probably doesn't even really matter. It's probably just.
Well, they did make a point to be like, oh, it's not dated whenever he was reading it.
Yeah.
And
that's
means we may never actually find out either.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even see how that would even be like a plot point that they're going to bring up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what's the next thing going to be like, oh, let's find out when he fucking wrote this letter.
Yeah.
I think if anything, it was just to show how
distant Jimmy is compared to everyone else. Like, he just doesn't care anymore.
I'll tell you what, too. Heartbreaking the very last shot, too, when Kim walks off. And it's like that thing where she walks in there and she throws the door closed but doesn't like slam it. Like she doesn't close it to where he couldn't get in, but it's like very much a sign. You know what
Give
I mean?
Give me a second.
It's like if you wanted to force yourself in here, you could, but I'm closing. Like I don't want you to. Mm-hmm. And also on top of that, like Jimmy not storming in there, Jimmy like looking at it, realizing it. And obviously the episode ended. He might still go in there, but it seems very much like he just knows, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they're just kind of hinting at the whole like them falling apart kind of thing.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I don't really know what's going to happen between them, because I feel like before this episode,
it can be good. I can't imagine.
I also feel like that could also be her just reacting to Chuck, because we haven't really seen her like mourn Chuck at all.
That's what I think was more in my head during all that, was just like,
it's the first time she's letting it get to her.
She wasn't like super close with Chuck, and probably especially less at the end, but at some point, right? I mean, she was such a big part of Hamlin McGill or whatever.
Yeah.
That, like, obviously she had a relationship with Chuck. Like, obviously there was something there in the terms of, like, you know, they were close at some point.
And I feel like she probably in her mind also thinks, like, that Jimmy on the inside is upset about it and isn't trying to show it. So the way he's reading it's obviously going to, like, affect her in some
Either
sort
that
of
or just even or, if she doesn't think it's an act, she would then be disappointed. Like, why the fuck isn't this bothering
Like, she
anymore?
Sees him falling into, like, becoming this character of Saul because he's not even mourning his brother's death. So she's upset about
Which
that.
Is, like, tough to watch for us. So you can imagine it'd be tough.
Well, I think it's like the first time she's letting everything get to her. Like, she's upset about her job. She's upset about what's going on with Jimmy. She's upset about Chuck's death. Like, it's just the first time, other than like her. I keep wanting to call him Hammond, and it's not Hammond, but Howard. when she like blew up on Howard the last episode, and then this episode she kind of like breaks down. And it's just like everything's starting to slowly get to her. So I don't know what's going to end up happening.
She's very much been like presented as this person too. Like she's nonstop, right? She's busy.
They used to show her like waking up, going to the gym, getting ready for work, like making her hair all perfect. And now it's like she.
So obviously, like the car accident, like she couldn't totally be like that. But at the same time, I feel like her mind's still going, and it's still like I do have all these things to do, and It's just very much.
What did that guy say? He was like Baby Bird with a broken wing.
That's exactly what he said.
Kim Baby Bird with the broken wing. Let me show you my models, Kim. You just got to see these models. Yeah, I don't know. The law stuff in there, too. I guess it was, we hadn't seen those characters. I don't know either of their names, but the people that she'd been working for.
Is it Mesa Verde?
Yeah, the Mesa Verde people.
Yeah, the Mesa Verde people. So she's getting back into that. She's got a paralegal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right lawyer term for that lady? What's her name?
Don't remember.
Don't remember. So, yeah, I don't know. There's obviously the show's kicking, gearing up. I feel like this episode was like had its own like B plot that sort of took over, which we're talking about the part with like the whole heist with the statue and everything.
Right.
And I think that ended up being a bigger part of it than I thought it was going to be. Just the second the fucking dude got stuck in there, which obviously was hilarious. And that pizza looked delicious, even though it was the last piece and it was kind of cardboard looking. I'm just kind of hungry right now.
It looked like cold or something.
I mean, that's what he ate like a lot. He had breadsticks and
I know,
everything.
Right?
Like,
all in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Also, what pizza place is delivering at fucking...
It might not
whatever
be.
Time it was.
It I guess might have been like midnight or one. You know, they got like Papa John's.
I guess you're right. I guess you're right. See, now I just want pizza though. But yeah, so I don't know. Obviously, I feel weird just saying it, but yeah, we're excited to keep trekking
I feel like this episode was a little slower.
It was. I feel like not very much happened.
It's how the show is, though. We've said it before. It's like the slow burn of Better Call Saul.
Which is
and
good.
That's what makes
slow
it good.
Burn until like the last like three episodes.
Yeah.
And
like,
then
like,
you're like, oh my God.
They do that part so well, though, that it just makes it okay. Especially, I don't know. It's just because of how it opened. It's not like you were expecting it to be all that the entire episode, but I guess I was expecting a little bit more to go back to like Nacho and what they were doing. So I guess that's the only thing that I was thinking. It was a little slower, but I was okay with it. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't bother me, so.
Yeah, I am kind of sad that we haven't seen much of Mike this week or last
week.
Yeah,
so. Mike's been getting kind of the shaft in these episodes, but I guess I have to think it's because there's a bigger plot for Mike coming in, still in the season, but just, you know, they can't focus on too many things at once.
Yeah.
This isn't Game of Thrones. But, yeah, I found the vets kind of history with the characters. His name's Caldera. And it looks like in season one, Mike went to him to get a bullet in his shoulder stitched up.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. He visited him once again in season one to have that shelter dog he adopted looked at. Mike asked the vet whether he still has the work available. So, yeah, he's giving people work, too.
Okay.
Sees him again in season two. So I think he's really only interacted with Mike. And then season three, too, when he found out he was being followed, he has Caldera meet him in a secret location in the middle of the night to help him find a tracking device. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
And then Jimmy saw him in season three, too, when he brought in a goldfish. He asked him for assistance in finding a professional pickpocket, and they eventually settle on Huel. Okay, so that makes sense. So that's how some of the characters know him, obviously. He's just the vet that does it all, I guess. this fucking wizard vet.
Wizard vet.
No, okay, so yeah, obviously, good episode, though. That's just, you know, this is what the show
is. Yeah, I mean, it's going to keep being good. I feel like this season's going to be amazing, so I'm really looking forward to seeing how it ends.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. Next week can't come soon enough. But yeah, so this was our review of Better Call Saul season 4, episode 3. We do this every week on Monday nights. You can look for our reviews. It comes up about an hour after the show. We do a weekly show on Saturdays, too, where we just talk about movies and TV and just random shit and be goofy and wacky and fun or whatever. So if you guys want to check it out, it'll be, you know, if you're watching on YouTube, it should be mixed in there, and SoundCloud and everything else. You can find them on there, too. We're Missed the Bus.
Yeah.
Hope you guys had fun. Keep fucking rocking, Saul. Can't wait to see what you do next week, Jimmy. Anyway, signing off, people. See you.
Bye.
Bye.